Our first case for argument today is 25-1161, Sparrow v. HHS. Mr. Webb, please proceed. We are super excited to have Judge, tell me how to say your last name.
Subramanian
with us from the Southern District of New York. We're so appreciative that he joined us today for these arguments. So thank you so much for coming.
It's great to be here.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to address the court this morning. I want to apologize for a moment that the captioning devices that worked very well in prior arguments were having some trouble this morning. So I now have two. Mine, which is an AI and a human captioning person as well. I will do my very best to hear and listen and address your questions. And I thank you for the accommodations the court has made for my difficulty hearing. There are two arguments I want to address in this morning. The first is that the special master said that the basic reason that he denied the Sparrow's claim for compensation was that the evidence demonstrated that a viral infection caused their daughter's encephalomyelitis. That conclusion was not in accordance with law because it was based on an analysis that did not require the secretary to show that a viral infection actually caused their daughter's encephalomyelitis. The special master.
Counsel, do you agree that your case involves an off-table injury where you bear the burden of proof for causation?
Definitely involves an off-table case.
And that you bear the burden of proof for causation? Do you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that. Absolutely. And the second argument, which I'll get to later, is that the special master also concluded that the Sparrows had not presented preponderant evidence in support of a reliable medical theory, causally connecting the MMR vaccination and the ADE and the Sparrow's daughters. I have trouble. LS as the initials through which we use to identify her. Acute disseminated encephalomyelitis. That conclusion was not in accordance with law because the special master required the Sparrows to provide medical literature that provided objective confirmation of their medical theory and required the petition or the Sparrows to demonstrate that there was widespread acceptance of their medical theory, which is contrary to this court's decisions in Alphen and Capizano.
Counsel, do you agree that under our precedent, a special master is allowed to consider the Daubert factors when evaluating whether to credit expert testimony in vaccine injury cases?
I'm sorry, by credit, could you please ask that again?
Of course, and I will try to be a little bit louder. So, do you agree that under our precedent, a special master is allowed to consider the Daubert factors in evaluating expert testimony in vaccine cases?
Yes, I do. And let me address that issue because it's a critical one on the second argument, the question of whether the medical theory, whether the special master required evidence that he is not allowed to require. That is the critical question. What is the difference between requiring certain evidence and considering certain evidence?
I'm not sure that I agree with you that that's the critical question here. If the special master found, and I think he did, that your client's condition was more likely caused by a virus than it was by the MMR vaccine, I think that ends the inquiry in this case. And that's a fact finding that I have to review and give deference. So I'm not, I know you want to pivot to errors you think the special master made in other contexts of the application of the Olfin prongs. But why do we even get there in light of the fact finding, which I've got to give deference to, that this injury was more likely than not caused by the viral encephalitis than it was by the administration of the MMR vaccine?
You get there because the Knudsen decision requires the respondent to prove not only the presence of a potential cause, but that that potential cause actually caused the injured person's injury. And so the question, the error in the special master's conclusion that the that a viral infection caused LS's encephalomyelitis is that he did not require the respondent to demonstrate that the infection actually caused the encephalomyelitis. In other words, to make it clear, he relied on the inference, which is an impermissible inference, that the presence of the infection alone was sufficient to demonstrate that the infection caused the illness.
So in this case, where the viral infection was at the same time as the presentation of the encephalitis, why was it improper for the special master to infer that the viral infection caused the encephalitis? And that would be a distinction from the Knudsen case, where in Knudsen there was just evidence of a viral infection. The court said that that can't be enough. But here the special master at least tied the two together. Why isn't that enough given the standard of review here?
Well, I think that there's less difference between Knudsen in this case than your impression. Because in the Knudsen case, the respondent or the secretary demonstrated that there was an infection present at the time of the, in that case, the table encephalopathy. They argued, or she argued, that the presence of the infection alone was sufficient. They also argued that the infection was a better explanation for the full constellation of symptoms that the petitioner had suffered. And I believe that essentially what was done in this case. In other words, no one focused on whether there was even, that was an inference that was based not on evidence that was presented at the hearing. Everyone on the secretary's side assumed it was just enough to prove that there was an infection and that it was present at the time that the encephalomyelitis was present. And that is exactly the inference that the Knudsen case said was improper.
Well, you're not disputing that a viral infection can cause encephalitis, right? You're not disputing that.
We're not disputing that.
Okay. So then in early March 2015, when these symptoms were being presented, at the same time, wouldn't it have been at least a permissible inference that given the evidence that the special master found of a viral infection, that that was the cause? Meaning that it's not just that there was a viral infection present and no connection between that and the encephalitis that the secretary argues was presented in early March, but there was that kind of nexus. I mean, why doesn't that distinguish this from from Knudsen?
That's a difficult question, only because it really wasn't addressed in the evidence about whether that inference was. The inference was asserted and made and followed by implication.
I guess I'm confused. Didn't Dr. Sweeney actually testify that the petitioner's presentation was due to the viral encephalitis? I mean, isn't there actual testimony in this record that the special master relied upon where a doctor concluded that causation was established?
Dr. Sweeney did testify that the viral infection caused the encephalomyelitis and that it was therefore a viral encephalitis. He did not explain that conclusion, and it appears from the record that she made the mistake that I believe the special master made. That is, not asking the question of whether the concurrent infection is whether the presence of an infection actually is evidence that the infection actually caused the encephalitis. In other words, you can have most viral infections cause the symptoms that were identified as proof of an infection in this case. And most of those infections exist, the vast majority of those infections exist in the absence of an encephalitis.
Counsel, what's our standard of review here for this issue? I understand that you think Dr. Sweeney's methodology may have been insufficient to make the asserted conclusion that she made, but what's our standard of review on this question?
Well, I think that the standard of review, I think you need to determine whether the analysis from the special master included a requirement that the viral infection actually caused the illness. If he didn't require that, then his analysis was not in accordance with law, and it's a de novo review based on a legal error.
Okay, should we save some of your time for rebuttal? Because you're well into your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
All right, great. Ms. Bishop, please proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. The special master's decision denying entitlement should be affirmed. The special master found against petitioners on three independent legal elements: diagnosis, Alton prong one, and Alton prong two. Petitioners need to prove reversible error as to all three of these elements, and they have not.
Counsel, what do you think is your best element? So you point out that there are three independent bases. If you had to just pick one, what would you say you're the strongest on?
Diagnosis, Your Honor, because as Chief Judge Moore had said, this is essentially the special master's fact-finding. It is within his province to find, to weigh the evidence. And it's, unless it's wholly implausible or some type of gross error, but that is not the case here. And I actually think it's important to understand that the special master relied on numerous discrete pieces of evidence, and he explained many times in his decision no one piece of evidence was dispositive, but the record as a whole indicated that this was a viral encephalitis for diagnosis. Numerous biomarkers, and by biomarkers, I mean objective diagnostic testing and the treater's findings on clinical exam supported that there were indications of a virus. Primarily, LS came in appearing septic. She also had a refractory fever, localized neck pain, an elevated pulse, low diastolic blood pressure, elevated white blood cell count, neutrophilic predominance of her white blood cell count, elevated cerebrospinal fluid white blood cell count, lymphocytic predominance in the cerebrospinal fluid, development of a rash. And again, she overall was described as septic, and numerous treating providers in that early period when she first presented opined this child is presenting with a viral encephalopathy or viral encephalitis. And that is what respondents expert Dr. Sweeney also had very thoroughly testified about and had submitted.
And although the special master didn't articulate all of the pieces of evidence that you just did in the analysis, when the special master made its fact finding that it was relying on Dr. Sweeney, I remember a sentence where it says, and all of these other facts, you know, kind of like the things that you're relying on. Kind of wish the special master had maybe actually, you know, rolled those out for us and sort of analyzed them as well as you just did. Like, I don't quite see everything you said quite as clearly articulated in the opinion that's on review.
Your Honor, I believe the special master did, but in multiple paragraph forms, as he would describe findings on the MRI, findings in the cerebrospinal fluid. So while he didn't bullet point the list quite the way that I presented it, all of these are facts in the decision that he relied on to ultimately come to his conclusion. And again, part of the standard of review being this high level of deference is the special master is in this highly specialized role in these very complex, medically scientific complex cases to try to understand that. And so the special master is in the best position. And unless his decisions he made irrational inferences or his decision wasn't supported by substantial evidence, then this court's role is to affirm the decision because he was in the best role to hear the evidence, weigh the evidence. His training as a special master is highly valuable in these particular Vaccine Act cases.
Am I right that Dr. Sweeney had changed their opinion from how it was initially presented? Initially, the view was that this was ADEM from the beginning, but then there was a modification of that opinion and the argument was made that it was viral encephalitis that subsequently developed into ADEM. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor. So petitioner's viewpoint was that it had been ADEM the whole time. Respondent's viewpoint was that it had started as a viral encephalitis. And then what became a more nuanced opinion upon cross-examination and the special master's inquisitorial powers to question Dr. Sweeney was that he said, I maintain it is a viral encephalitis in the beginning, but after March 8th, I agree with petitioners that it is a post-infectious process now becoming ADEM. And so, it's similar to if one was asked, you know, is it going to rain today? Is it okay to go swimming? But the pool closes at 5. And if it were to rain after 5, it's sort of irrelevant that it's a sunny day going forward. And so Dr. Sweeney was saying this was always viral encephalitis in the beginning. That has been consistent. Petitioners had multiple opportunities on cross-examination, in rebuttal testimony, in post-hearing briefing to challenge that. They really didn't effectively by the special master's determination. And so now they are raising this on review, but that issue is waived. The special master did still consider it, and he said in his decision, you know, this doesn't prejudice the petitioners. By my view also, they've not cited a law or a rule that's been violated. This is merely something that is part of the record, and the special master was correct to consider the record.
Well, on appeal, we are asked to consider the discounting of Dr. Steinman's opinion because of the plasmapheresis testimony, right? Mm-hmm. And so isn't the argument that could be made, query whether it was made, but the argument is that how could the special master discount Dr. Steinman's opinion just based on this plasmapheresis testimony when he didn't discount Dr. Sweeney's testimony when it changed, radically so, says the appellant, from how it was initially presented to how it was presented after cross-examination? Why isn't there an inconsistency there and a failure to fairly apply the standards regarding expert witnesses?
Well, a special master is entitled to the highest level of deference and credibility determinations. And so his determination was that Dr. Sweeney had modified his opinion, but it was always supported by substantial evidence. And here he's saying Dr. Steinman made an opinion that's inconsistent with the facts of the case. Dr. Steinman said his best evidence was that LS had this miraculous awakening upon plasmapheresis treatment, and the records, actually in 4,000 pages of medical records during her hospital stay, showed she had a very gradual process, and as Dr. Sweeney testified, she was still responding to steroids in her system, so it couldn't just have been the plasmapheresis. Medically, plasmapheresis wouldn't react that quickly in one's body. And by the time March 18th that LS received plasmapheresis, Dr. Sweeney agreed she had ADEM at that point. It's not indicative of the viral encephalitis versus ADEM at that point. And so for Dr. Steinman's best evidence to be based on factual inaccuracies and irrelevant to the period of time that we're talking about, the special master was absolutely within his province to say, I'm going to discredit Dr. Steinman's statements. Also, you know, one thing that the special master did harp on is that in those biomarkers that I listed, Dr. Steinman never disagreed with any of them. Those went completely unrebutted by petitioner's expert and in petitioner's briefing.
Anything further, counsel?
Nothing if your honors don't have anything further for respondent.
Bishop?
Thank you.
Thank you. The point I want to make at this point is that the question of whether the question on whether this was acute disseminated encephalomyelitis or a viral encephalitis, this is not a question of diagnosis at the end of this hearing. The secretary's expert had agreed that LS suffered acute disseminated encephalomyelitis at any time after the 8th of March. Her illness was ADEM, not a viral encephalitis. And so the question became, when the government's expert changed his testimony to agree that the child's illness was ADEM, it became a question of causation, not diagnosis.
Counsel, did he agree that the child's illness was ADEM and had been ADEM throughout the full time period? Or did he agree that the illness manifested into ADEM after, I think, March 8th?
Hey, ask that question again, please.
Sure. When you say the witness changed their position on whether LS had ADEM, did they change their position on whether the child had ADEM the entire time period, or only whether ADEM was the proper diagnosis for the illness post March 8th?
Dr. Sweeney's testimony was it was a viral encephalitis until the 7th or 8th of March, and became an ADEM after that.
And does that matter?
Yes, it does matter.
Why?
Because ADEM and viral encephalitis are different illnesses. They have different causes. And Dr. Sweeney never explained her opinion for why the viral infection caused the ADEM.
Counsel, it feels like you want this court to reweigh some of the facts. Is that what you're really asking us to do, or what are you contending we should do about some of the concerns you've outlined today?
I'm sorry, neither of you have. Please try that question again.
Okay. It felt like you're asking this court to reweigh facts, which would not be within the province of this court. So I want to know, what are you asking this court to do today in light of the concerns you have raised to us?
Yes. We want you to remand this case to Special Master Moran so he can decide whether a viral infection actually caused LS's ADEM.
Okay, thank you.
Didn't require that, and he should have.
Okay, thank you, counsel. We have your argument taken under advisement. That's all the time we have for today. So thank you very much. I thank both counsel.